It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
It's the Take Command Instant Reaction Show. Oh, is there a lot to react to? Craig Hoffman here, Logan Paulson there. Here is Northwest Stadium, where we had 3.5 quarters of a football game, and then a circus broke out at the end, Logan.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to characterize it. I mean, it was just a lot. A lot of bad football at the beginning, and then a lot of crazy football at the end. And I'm still kind of working through how to process all that.
Yeah, I was on the beat covering the team from 2015 to 2019,
yeah,
which means I saw a lot of bad, weird football games. And I said out loud in the press box, which is right through this glass window off screen here, I said out loud, I was on the beat for when I was on the beat, and I've seen a lot of bad, weird football games, and this is as bad and as weird, certainly as weird, as I've ever seen. And that was before the final onside kick, and right, maybe even before some of the other stuff. And I looked down to the row in front of me, and John Keim, who's covered a lot more weird, bad football than me in this stadium. Game number 502. And he just looks back and he goes, So that gives you an idea of kind of the craziness that was happening today. You all watched it, you know, but just some small perspective on it. And so look, it really does come down to, like, do you want to talk about the circus first? Or you want to talk about the football game first?
I mean, I think the football game first, because I think that's more indicative of, like, long term.
You know
what I mean?
I agree.
That's kind of where my mind goes, you know, and it goes specifically to the offensive side of the football. And, like, I think the defense actually did a lot of really good stuff today. I think they played about as good as they could have played through three quarters. I think the special teams did some good stuff early, specifically in the first half, in terms of creating turnovers and creating short fields. And the offense just wasn't able to capitalize. And I think back to kind of what it was earlier in the season, it was kind of the antithesis of that. So every opportunity the offense was able to maximize. And I look at this now and I say, you know, what are the differences? And the differences to me are just down to down, literally down to down efficiency. And so what does that look like? You know, that's rushing efficiency. That's quick game efficiency, which we'll talk about probably more here in a second.
Yep.
And that's being selective about when we're kind of hunting for explosive plays. And all of those things coupled with the penalties just seem to be kind of, they were really bad today. They weren't very good today. And I think that's something that everybody in the locker room would say to you. And it's something that, again, it takes you from being the most efficient offense in the NFL to what we saw today. And it's a very stark contrast.
Yeah, I think because the difference is so wide, so vast, like, there's a lot of different things you could talk about. Some of this is purely regression to the mean. Like,
sure,
Jaden Daniels had the most accurate start to a season, not for a rookie, but period, in NFL history through four games. That was quite obviously not going to continue. And so there was, like, one or two balls today where I'm like, man, he hits that earlier in the season. But I also don't know that that's not just typical quarterbacking in the NFL where guys miss throws. There's other stuff where you're like, that is something that has been maybe more indicative of his play as of late, decision making or otherwise, accuracy, getting sped up or whatever it may be. I feel like there was a couple opportunities against pressure where he had hit Zach quickly over the middle and stuff that he was doing earlier this year. But I think systemically, structurally, one, the running game is just not where it was earlier in the season. And that is, B-Rob is banged up, the O-line is banged up, but their design running game, for whatever reason, the execution is just not as clean and crisp as it was earlier in the season. And then in the passing game, they were so aggressive today.
Yeah.
And people are like, wait, they didn't throw the ball deep a ton. It's like, no, but they were trying to.
Yeah.
And then when you're trying to do that and you're not taking the checkdowns or you're not getting the scrambles and you're not getting that down-to-down efficiency, even when you don't get the big opportunity that you're looking for like they did earlier in the season, this is what the offense looks like. And so I think from a plan standpoint, like, I think there's plan, there's execution. From a plan standpoint, I don't know that in hindsight the plan was a great plan today. And to Dallas's credit, they get paid too. They knew they were understaffed in the secondary, and so they planned accordingly. And Washington was like, they're understaffed in the secondary, we're going to take shots, and they weren't there.
Yeah, and again, this is something I want to watch on film, but I think there's a play that kind of encapsulates what you're talking about. It's first down after a turnover, and they throw that deep shot to Terry, which, you know, falls incomplete over here on the left side of the field, kind of going towards the tunnel.
Yeah, literally right behind us.
And again, that's a good shot. I like, the protection's good, the route's good, the opportunity's good. He's got to step on the DB. Everything was fine. The throw was fine, maybe a little bit more inside, whatever. But the problem is you're in second and 10 now, right? You're in second and 10. And early in the season, what they do is they call a quick game. You'd be in third and 5, third and 4, and you have an opportunity to maybe run the ball, scramble, whatever you're going to do. I think they ran a run. It was third and 8, third and 9. They got a blitz, and then they had a punt, right? And, like, that was kind of very indicative of the structure and the flow of the game today, specifically in the first half, is instead of kind of this methodically hunting for those big shots. And I understand why Cliff did it. And you go to play caller school 101. It's like after a turnover, take your shot.
Yeah.
Plus 50, take your shot. So I'm not, this is not a criticism of Cliff. It's just when you do that, one of the negative byproducts is that you are now in second and 10, which makes it harder to convert a first down. And when you are behind the sticks versus the defensive coordinator for Dallas, he is going to heat you up. He's going to heat Jane Daniels up. And that's something else I kind of was like, oh my gosh, like what is the plan for this moving forward? Because teams are like, hey, we're just going to bring the kitchen sink in third and 7+. And what are the answers? When you're in empty, it becomes hard to pick up stuff. You lose answers, right? When you have backs in, you can pick up the extra blitzers. You can bring a tight ends in. When you lose those bodies, it makes it harder. Even when you're bringing chip help, those guys need to know who to chip. And there's a couple times there's free runners, just a nickel. They're flushing him to his right every time. And that's just for him, I think it's not putting him, Jaden, in the best position to be successful. And again, that's something that they got to look at. But it's a situation that has in large part been avoided this year because their first and second down efficiency was significantly better earlier in the year.
Yeah, no, I think that you brought up really some interesting stuff to hear it come out of your mouth, having just come out of the locker room and gone to the press conferences, because Jaden mentioned like, yeah, we're getting in third and longs and a lot, and I'm getting, you know, they're bringing pressure. And yeah, like, you know, Jaden's never going to complain. And I'm not saying he has a right to complain. Like, he's the quarterback. He's got to make plays. Yeah. That's the league. But like, that was stuff he didn't have to deal with earlier in the year. And so the pressure is definitely a big deal. Their inability to run it, which again, we can talk about a little bit more in a second, but just to kind of finish out this passing conversation and the instant reaction version before we watch the film, which by the way, with the holiday, our schedule will be a little bit different this week, but we still are going to do the film show on Tuesday. So we have a chance to actually, you know, watch it tomorrow. But I think something that happened later in the game, in part because Dallas was playing this prevent defense and like even more so trying to prevent the big play shots, which hilariously didn't work because then Terry ran up the sideline and we thought we were going to have another Hail Mary situation and blah, blah, blah. But they started to hit some of those quick outs and the hitches and the comebacks, and they started to get to that, some of that stuff. And I asked one of the offensive players in the locker room, I was like, was that there earlier? And he was like, yeah, probably. It's like, I have to watch it on film to be sure, but it felt like it to me, and it felt like it on the pictures on the sideline. And, you know, we obviously got to it and it started to work, but I can tell you from my vantage point up here, like, it just felt like there was huge cushion where it's like, all right, they're clearly not going to let you deep. So just take the slant, take the comeback, take the hook. And those things can then replace your running game. And especially when you're not running the ball very well, it seemed like that could have been a solution. I know that's very easy to say from my seat. What did you see from the sideline and having, you know, been a play caller at the high school level and all those different things?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that was so, again, like Cliff was like masterful early in the year about, hey, we're at a run where it's a negative run. Hey, we got quick game. And he just had such a good feel for, A, when to call quick game, B, what concept to call, and how to maximize those opportunities. And that, to me, coupled with Jaden's ability to scramble on third and kind of five-ish situations, was the reason the offense just stayed on the field. And people are like, oh, well, we ran the ball 30 times. We were running. That's not why. It's because you're getting first downs. You can then give the running back more touches. And so when I look at this, I say that's something that is kind of gone from the offense, but also I'm sure you saw, and well, this is why we got to watch the film, but there are opportunities where I'm like, hey, man, they're being a little bit more aggressive with their press structure here, or they are playing cover two, and you play cover two to take away quick game, or, you know what I'm saying? There were opportunities where I thought, man, maybe this is why they're not doing it, as opposed to saying like they should just do it all the time. But again, that's why you watch the film, and we'll figure that out. But I do think like that's today specifically. And again, everyone's going to say, is this a Cliff regression? I really just think like the kind of early game flow as the play caller got in a situation where the offense never really got in a rhythm. And you saw that rhythm kind of manifest itself later in the game. Again, when they got more plays, they were able to string some something. And we've talked about this on this show, on our recap shows. When this offense gets some kind of momentum, it's devastating, right? Because it's so quick. You get into simple play calls, and they never were able to find that. Think about how many three and outs they had this game.
Tons. And I felt like they were in second and seven on every single drive. It was like Austin for three. Let's try this. Oh, nope, that only went for three. And I'll say this. Like, this is where I feel for Cliff as a play caller. I don't know what you can call it to be confident in with this offense right now, because things that you should be confident in, your base runs, not going anywhere. Your screen game, you get picked off on a screen
today.
That
was wild. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, if you're going to, if all of a sudden that's a possibility, like what the hell are you supposed to call to feel good about? And that's where it's just, is tough. Like, this is the NFL. It's the hardest league in the world. And this offense made it look really easy in earlier in the year, and they've got to figure out how to get back to that. Like, it's the NFL. That's their job. But I do feel for Kliff in that way, where I'm just like, it's easy on Tuesday or on Monday, whenever you watch the film, to be like, take what the defense gives you.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're going to give you before the play.
Right.
And so when they do a good enough job of switching up, all right, we're giving you the quick stuff. Oh, now we're in cover two and we're taking that away. It's really, really hard to find that rhythm as a play caller.
And it's something you could see, like, there was definitely coming out of halftime, like, this big push to run the football more. But when you start running the football and the defense is starting to take that away, again, you kind of you fall into situations where you were before, right? It's a second and 10. It's a second and 12.
And they had to overcome second and 20
there's
on
a,
that
there's
drive.
There's a holding call, right?
Yeah.
Like, all of those different things become they're laid at your feet in terms of problems you have to solve as a play caller. And so if there's one thing post-game that I would just be like, hey, something to keep an eye on moving forward is the quick game, is that element of the offense. Like, as we've talked about the screens, I think they've got to kind of go back to the drawing. That's something that they got to kind of re-look at, right? I think the runs, they kind of, to me, they kind of were in a Wanda, so away from the tight end, zone read type of game plan early, when they've had so much success with, like, GT, they've had so much success with this these bounce runs, and they ran them a little bit, but again, they weren't overly effective versus the penetrating movement that they were getting from Dallas. So I do think there's a lot of things that they can look at and be like, hey, how do we maximize these opportunities? How do we improve? And one thing that I just kind of it's easy because it's like right at the forefront in terms of my mind, in terms of difference from early to now, is the quick game. And can they kind of get back to some of that stuff? Because again, Jaden was so good at it early.
Yeah, and I mean, I think getting Ertz back more involved, and I know Zach is not the most electric, exciting player, but, like, it's exciting to be in second and three because you hit Zach on a quick hook over the middle, and, like, that stuff just hasn't really been there, and I think he missed a couple of opportunities, at least from the press box level. It's hard to watch that stuff in real time, but there's a couple opportunities where the middle of the field was more available. And just generally speaking, like, I'll have to pull up the spray chart and check it out, but I feel like it was so perimeter-oriented today. And they weren't super sharp in executing it. Like, there was one of the key third downs where Noah Brown gets a comeback broken up against, and we watched it 17 times up here in the press box, and I'm like, because people are like, another one. And like, Jaden's not there. I'm like, that's not Noah in this particular one, because he's really slow coming out of the break. He gets 3-4 yards past the sticks, comes back down, but he kind of lunges at the ball instead of being big and strong and like realizing that he has space with to still get the first down, but attack the football. And so when you hear like execution and details, like that's the kind of stuff that has to get cleaned up in the quick game for it to work, is it has to be more precise because everything's happening in those small spaces.
Yeah. And again, like that's another thing too, is, you know, I remember that opportunity for Noah Brown, and you'd like him to kind of make that opportunity work for you. Cause again, think about that. You get the first down, you're not even thinking twice about it. We're running on first down. Who cares? We're on schedule. But I also feel like, you know, I thought it was interesting that early in the game, a lot of those opportunities went to Noah as opposed to Terry.
Yes.
And maybe it's kind of the position of the field, the allocation. He's the single receiver and there's three guys over here that could be rolling coverage to Terry. Could be pressed, pick your best look, whatever it is. But that's something that I'm excited to watch on film too, is, because Terry does seem like he's very good in those contested catch situations.
Great.
And I'm not sure why that resource isn't being tapped into, especially in the first half of this game.
Yeah, for sure. And I will also say, you know, another big play in this game that gets forgotten because there's so many things that happen is, and they finally get something going, or it looks like it, in 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and Bates has the fumble.
Oh,
and
my
like,
gosh,
John, that's a great play. They get the play action. They finally look like they're going to get going a little bit, and then fumble, just Dallas made some plays.
Yeah, especially because it was 10-9 at that point. They could have driven down and scored. Then they go down and hit the field goal, and you're down by – you need a touchdown now to win the game. So, that was a really tough situation, and it kind of the whole game honestly kind of felt like that. It was just kind of a comedy of errors. And I've played games like this, like the one I'm thinking of was when I was in Atlanta, we played Baltimore. It felt like this. You're turning the football over, you're always in third and long, you can't get anything going. The first down run game, everyone's getting a holding call, there's illegal formations, and it just was not clean. And this game reminded me of that a lot.
That is something I'm glad you came back to that word, because I almost brought this up earlier, because you said it earlier, like, earlier in the season, this team played incredibly clean football, and it has just not been that. Part of that's injuries, and you're banged up. It's late in the year. It's getting cold out. You're fatigued as hell.
Yeah.
But, like, that's something that they preach. And so I don't know what Dan's solution is. I mean, you've been in the locker room with the guys, so you can tell us as well as anyone. But, like, I don't know how you get that stuff cleaned up, because it's not like they're telling them, hey guys, it's okay to be sloppy today. Like that's not a coaching point, obviously. Right, yeah. So how do you get that fixed?
Well, I think for me, it's kind of, you got to emphasize the details. And that's so incredibly hard to do. As a player, it was hard to do. As a coach, it was hard to do. At the high school level, it's impossible. Like, it's just like, because every little detail is important. Right. Like, hey, who's watching the tackle? Are they on sides? Or are they in a legal formation? Like, who's watching that?
Yeah, they have a huge play late in this game erased because Brandon Coleman's just lined up in a legal formation. By the way, they also got bailed out because Dallas had two plays wiped off because of illegal formations.
100%. So who's watching that? Who's watching the spacing? Who's watching the timing? Who's making sure that we have answers versus these blitz looks? And when you actually go through the list of a game plan and you're really just redlining a script, you're like, man, we did not cover as much as I thought we covered this week. So I used to do the same thing with Sean, same thing with Kyle, and they do a really good job of that. But there's certain weeks where you come in and you're like, man, they brought something that we weren't expecting, and this whole section of our game plan was terrible. And then that stresses the other parts of the game plan. It stresses certain players, and you're kind of just grabbing at straws. You're pulling at this rope that's just falling down from the ceiling, and you can't get any traction. And again, that's when I think of that Atlanta-Baltimore game, that's exactly what it was. They came out, they played a different front than we were expecting. All of our base runs were terrible. All of our base protections were terrible. And we were just like, now what do we do? Right. And again, like, it leads to penalties. It leads to mistakes. It leads to negative plays. And so, and I'm not saying that happened in this game because we haven't watched the film yet, but I do think, like, can we tighten the game plan up? Can we emphasize the details? And sometimes they get you. And I kind of felt like they got a little bit today, but also I felt like they helped Dallas a little bit offensively with a little bit of lack of execution.
I think that's a frustrating thing, just to zoom out big picture for a second before we talk about the defense. And then, oh my God, special teams. Boy, were they special today in all kinds of ways. This wasn't like Dallas played out over its skis. Like, Dallas comes out of this game. Like, if I'm doing radio in Dallas tomorrow, I'm like, hey, guys, we're lucky to win. We're still a bad football team.
Yeah.
Like, it was a bad football team that played badly. And unfortunately, Washington just played worse. And they just gave them all these different opportunities. I mean, just the game could be summarized in so many plays. But there's a single play where Noah Igbinoghene commits a PI, gets a pick, and fumbles.
Yeah.
Like, that was the football game. Was That's silliness like that.
Yeah.
By the way, soft PI call.
So soft. And again, like, I've never been a, like, criticize the refs game kind of guy. But that call, I was like, he's actually getting pushed off on, and he doesn't actually grab him.
Yeah.
So it was just
he fumbled, so that wouldn't have mattered anyway.
But it was just a tough call.
So that's great. Speaking of the defense in the secondary, I think this team desperately needs Marshon Lattimore. Because there are just key situations where, and we're 17 minutes in. Some of you, I'm sure, in the comments already waiting. Like, BSJ didn't play a ton today. He and Michael Davis were rotating. Like rotating. I don't know what that's about. There's so many other things that happened. I forgot to ask about it post game, but like in key situations, again, like teams are attacking him and the touchdown late to Schoonmaker. Quan darts out of the middle of the field to go give that safety help that we all wish that he had against Pittsburgh. And then Jeremy Chinn, I think it is. I'm not sure exactly who it is, but
that's something
like
we
have
to check on the film. But it looks like if it's some type of cover two or quarters, like
someone has to carry Schoonmaker up the middle of the field to that spot that Quan vacated, and they didn't. So it just the way things get easier, and like Sanders still gave up a couple, Noah gives up a couple. So like again, the secondary is just stretched a little thin, and overall they played well. Like it's 34-26.
They played,
but they
really
gave up two special team touchdowns. But like, in order to take the next step, I think we have reached the ceiling of the current personnel, and Lattimore is going to do a lot for them. And I'm very excited to see him get on the field, hopefully this week.
I mean, I think we're all excited to see him get on the field. But also, I think like it was 3-3 coming into halftime.
Yeah.
And the
defense played great. I should have said that first.
Yeah. And I think, again, for them to hold and hold and hold, I've been a part of these types of games too. When I was with the Bears, we were a bad offense and the defense was great. And it would be 10-7 going into the third quarter. And we just would go three and out. We'd go three and out. And you're just giving that other offense more and more opportunities, and you're messing up the field position battle. Think about that.
The offense had incredible field position today. It just did nothing with it.
And I think that's the thing that's, again, really frustrating is the defense held up their end of the bargain. And again, I always say this because I'm an offensive player, but that's when the offense needs to reward that. And I think that's another thing that's frustrating about it is they've gotten this great support the last couple of weeks from a defense that's really putting it all out there for them. And the offense, you just need to get a couple first downs. You need to get a couple points And again, I'm not saying you're going to win the game that way, but you need to alleviate some of that pressure on that group. And for some of the reasons we talked about at the top of the show, you know, the quick game, the run game, just general offensive efficiency. But the offense needs to support that group because I think they're definitely playing well enough to win football games.
100% agree with that. So I want to pause, emphasize defense played well, and then bring up one more point about the defense for a potential area of improvement because I thought it was an interesting moment at the end of the press conference. Now, I don't want this clip to get taken out of context as someone who was in the room.
Good luck.
But at the very end, they were like, a couple more questions. Nobody had one. Dan was like, okay. And then Standig asked, he's like, hey, by the way, it seemed like the pass rush couldn't get home today. And Dan goes, I agree, and gets up and walks out, which like was a very funny thing in the room. That wasn't Dan being snarky or bad with the media or anything like that. But he did agree. And so I think that's something, too, that came up in a couple of spots today. Some of these big, like high leverage situations where, again, I remember at one point them announcing that Dallas was 1 of 9 on third down. So they played largely well. But, you know, the pass rush today was not as good as I think they had hoped, considering Dallas's offensive line has been pretty meh all year. And they're without Zach Martin and without Tyler Smith. And they just could not get the big play sack pressure that they really wanted for this game plan today.
No, I think that's 100% right. That's something we'll have to watch on film just to kind of see. And again, I do think that Dallas did a good job in some of those situations with the protection plan, with the play call. And again, that's from what I'm remembering. You know, there could be a million things where it was terrible, but there wasn't a lot of opportunities. It wasn't a ton of pressure. And that's where I thought the coverage unit did a great job kind of supporting some of that like lack of top end pass rush. But again, that group was great last week. They weren't as good this week. So we'll have to watch film and kind of figure out why that is. But as a coach, that's one of those things where you're like, the pass rush has got to be better. The coverage has got to be better because you want to win the football game.
If you're Joe Witt, that's the stuff you're saying. If you're an independent analyst doing a post game show in a press box overlooking the stadium, you're like, hey guys, offense, that's probably the big deal here.
And again, like I think it is the big deal. But again, like if you're Joe Wood Jr., like you said, it's a great point. You're going to be very critical. Dan's going to be very critical. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about this staff is that they are self-reflective. They're critical. They're problem solvers, right? And that's something that is a little bit novel over the last, 2 years in terms of the differences between the staffs. So I think that that's something that I'm very confident they'll get it corrected, whether that's this week, whether it's the following week, they'll figure it out. Just depends on now, and this is stuff that analysts get to talk about and not coaches, is can they get it turned around quick enough so they can make a push for the playoffs?
For sure. And then there's the circus at the end.
The circus.
I don't really know even what to say about it, other than I guess let's talk a little bit about some of the decision making here. First, you have, and like I think Dan did some of the stuff, like something that I've wished coaches would do forever is what Dan did in terms of kicking the field goal early, to get to that onside kick. And then obviously they botched the onside kick. At that point, just like let them score, I guess, whatever.
Well, that was my thought. It was like
once you've let them recover it, the best thing you can do is get the football back because you're down one. So I guess at that point, that it was almost a great call. They should have intentionally done that. Been like, hey, please return this for a touchdown. We'll only be down 8.
Well, honestly, like that's exactly what I thought. Like right when it happened, I was like, that's the best thing that could have happened for the team. Like,
yeah.
That is the best case scenario.
I kept looking at the scoreboard being like, wait, 8?
Yes.
8? Right. Oh, 8. That's a one score game.
Yes.
So there's that. But if you rewind to the decision, so they beautifully executed drive. Daniels goes 7 for 7. They score on the play to Ertz. First thing, do you think about, or actually, let's start there. You kick the football deep. Right. Yeah. I do have the order right here. They kick the football deep and then it's the Turpin thing and then it's the Terry thing.
It's
I think that's
so
right.
So on this score, Turpin scores, Terry scores.
Okay. So let's start with the Turpin one.
Yeah.
I asked Dan after the game to walk us through the decision making because Austin Seibert had told us in the locker room that there was an intentional
squib.
Dirty ball, as they call it, because the squib kick obviously has to change with the landing zone rule and whatever, which Brandon Aubrey inexplicably violated earlier in the game. So to me, in that situation, you have 2 timeouts. You know Dallas is going to run the football. Every second matters. I am kicking that ball through the end zone 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Obviously, the worst case scenario happened in terms of giving up the touchdown there. And so I asked Dan, like, take us through the decision making. And he's like, it's harder to kick it out of the end zone than you think.
Yeah.
And to me, this goes to a compromise that the Commanders decided to make when they were to their credit, just trying to find kickers earlier in the year. And they land on Austin Seibert, who is basically perfect in his career under 40. He was perfect on extra points until today as well. But over 50, not very good, does not have a very strong leg, and does not kick the ball through the end zone.
Yeah.
So given that, is that just a personnel issue and they did the best with what they had? Or do you try to kick it out of the end zone and trust your coverage? Like, it's obviously easy to say, like, hey, would you have done something different? Because it went as badly as possible. Yeah. What do you make of the process?
I actually really like the kick, honestly, because I thought if he muffs this or fumbles it, it gives you an opportunity to maybe recover it, is what I thought, right? Especially with the onside kick recovery rule, what it is. I was like, this is kind of best case scenario. He does muff it. He's messing around with it back there. They're going to be backed up. They're going to be more conservative in play call. And obviously there's a little bit issue in terms of coverage lane. It looks like, you know, McGee gets out of his lane, comes across, whatever happens. But
it's a Deion Sanders classic. Muff it, make them think that you're panicked, and then you take the lane.
Which happens more than you think. But anyway.
Steven Sims had one here a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, but I actually like that. I was like, good. That's a good opportunity. And again, it doesn't work out the way you want it to. I don't think that, you know, just because the result was the worst thing that could happen. I think statistically, when you run the math, it's probably like the returner muffs the punt, like good or bad, good. You know what I mean? Is he going to return like you just kind of play the analytics game more times than not, that's going to be a positive situation for you. But I don't have any problem with the decision. Again, you don't want him to return it for a touchdown. I don't really have anything more to say about it other than that.
Yeah, I think I would have kicked the ball through the end zone if that was an option for me. I don't know that was an option for Dan Quinn. So that's the reality of, you know, the situation is Seibert's leg and his, like, this is the bargain you made. You feel pretty good if it's under 40. In a couple of times, in a 50-yard field goal on down, like, it was an issue in multiple places today. And you see why sometimes coaches and personnel people opt to take a less accurate short kicker for someone like Joey Sly that obviously we saw here the last couple of years, who is like, it's 58. That's in his range. Like, let's party.
Yeah.
So then the Terry thing happens.
Yeah,
that's bananas. That is all time bad play by the Dallas Cowboys. Like, legitimately one of the worst football plays that a team will have all season that they get away with because of what happens in the ensuing whatevers, including the missed PAT by Seibert, which, again, it's his first miss of the year. I'm not going to get too mad at Austin Seibert, although he clearly had a rough day already. Yeah. And considering the momentum at that point, considering Daniels got in really easily on the previous 2-point conversion, considering any other factors you want to consider, I think I probably would have gone for two there and just wouldn't try to end this thing.
That's what I thought he was going to do, and I was a little surprised that he didn't. But again, like, maybe you feel like you've got the momentum, you've got an opportunity, like, I don't want to leave it to one play. This may be what you're thinking.
And that's exactly what Dan said after. He's like, let's not decide it right now. And I understand it. I, in that moment, would have been like, let's decide this thing right now.
Yeah, especially given how chaotic it had been prior to that, for sure. And I don't think there's a wrong decision. Like, I totally understand his perspective.
I do too.
Because I think you've got it rolling. You've scored two touchdowns. Everything's going good. Like, you've got them on the ropes. And you're a better football team. And usually if you go to overtime and you're the better football team, you win those matchups, right? But again, like, you missed the field goal. And if he had gone for two, I'd have been like, okay. He thinks it's important because they've kind of gotten this one out. Yeah.
Easily the Commanders are the better football team. I don't know that they were the better team today. No, like, down in, down out, they weren't necessarily the better team. You've got this chaos moment. I think fundamentally, like, this is a very, I don't say journalistic, but like a headline storyline way to look at it, right? Like, for me, the headline is, I put the ball in Jaden Daniels' hands to win the game. Sure. And I am comfortable with that decision if I'm Dan Quinn. And not to say that he's not comfortable doing that, very clearly, that the antithesis is not true. But, like, to me, that's ultimately the deciding factor of going for two, is like, I'm going to put the ball in Jaden's hands. He decided to say, hey, let's play for overtime, where it ultimately would have wound up in Jaden's hands again.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
But I've been willing to do that for Jaden's hands on one play. And he decided otherwise. It didn't work out. It's a bad snap. You know, Tress said you got it down. Who knows about the timing? That's really, really intricate stuff. And then obviously Austin pulls it and yikesy poo.
Yeah, yikesy poo is exactly right. I don't really have any strong opinion. I go for two, whatever, miss the PAT. That's like, again, worst possible case scenario for someone who's never missed a PAT in their entire career. But that's how this game felt from the first play of the game to the last play. It felt like a comedy of errors. Sometimes you have those games. Now we'll see what kind of composition this team has in terms of being able to right the ship and get back to it.
Murphy's Law, Washington Commanders, handshake. What can go wrong could go wrong. All right. we'll see what went wrong on the film and what went right. Who knows? Maybe there's some good in there too. Probably, especially on the defensive side. And we'll do that on Tuesday, our usual time. So make sure you're subscribed to Take Command, whether it's here on YouTube at the Team 980, at 106.7 The Fan. And I put up some of the show as well at Craig Hoffman. And then, of course, in your audio feed, just search Take Command in your favorite podcast app. And then I believe that we are going to tape on Wednesday, our preview. We might put that out as our Thanksgiving gift on Thursday morning, first thing. But you got it to listen to whenever you want around your Thanksgiving travels. Until Tuesday, and try to enjoy the rest of your weekend. Sunday night football is a banger. Monday night football is a banger. So enjoy some good football. Safe travels if you're traveling somewhere. And for Logan, I'm Craig. Thanks for watching and listening to Take Command.